a believer in him and become a Christian, there's a lifelong process of becoming more and more like him and being sanctified. That doesn't really end until he calls us home. Our hearts stop beating or he comes back again. That's going to be the real finish line. But for now, we never stop growing. And Jesus, when we look at his life, when we look at the Gospels and the years of ministry that he spent, he developed after calling and knowing, and then he sent out his disciples. And somehow this little band that followed around one guy became the biggest faith system in the world. I mean, from one guy to a dozen to a few other disciples, we have billions of Christians around the world, people that claim the name of Christ. And it just exploded. And what I want to do this morning, and this is going to be, our high school students have been through this before, so they're like, oh man, this again, Mark? But I think this is helpful. There's a guy named Dan Spader who started a ministry called Sun Life, which is a discipleship group for discipleship material for teenagers. And he wrote a book called Four Chaired Discipleship. And I think it's a very helpful way to think about how God grabs us and grows us and moves us along. And so what I want to do this morning is thinking about who we are and who we are becoming and how Jesus grabs a hold of us. I want to talk about the four chairs of discipleship. And if you ascribe to the theory of four-chaired discipleship, you're sitting in one of these chairs this morning. And I hope when you leave this morning, you know what chair you're in and you know what it would look like for you to move to a different chair. And so we're going to look at basically the way Jesus reached out to people and invited people into the gospel story and the life of knowing and following Jesus this morning. And we'll look at just a few verses, and we'll look at these four chairs. So there's four chairs behind me. You have the four chairs written on your bulletin insert, and I hope this is helpful for you. It's been helpful for us, right, students, like going through this. And in fact, if I fall over, any one of them could come up and tell you about the four chairs. So don't fall asleep because I might need you. So here's the first chair. The first chair, this one right here, is chair one. And chair one is the non-believer or the seeker. So everyone on the planet is in one of these four chairs. And this is maybe a lot of people sitting in this chair. In fact, a lot of people do sit in this chair. This is the seeker and the non-believer. And the command that Jesus, or the invitation that Jesus gives to people that are sitting in chair one is, come and see. Come and see. Come check this out. Just show up, just observe, see who I am, see what's going on here. In John 1, we have this early on, and Mike actually preached on this passage last week on the Christmas Eve message, but in John 1, 35 through 39, it's going to be up there on the screen behind me in just a second. And this is talking about John the Baptist and his disciples, and Jesus is beginning his ministry. And it says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Now the 10th hour is early afternoon, and so they spent several hours hanging out with Jesus, talking, you know, hearing who he is, obviously seeing where he was staying, but Jesus taught them a lot more because later on we see their response. But Jesus, when he began his ministry especially, he invited people just to show up. Come and see who I am. Just show up. And some of the disciples were inviting each other, like, hey, this guy's on the scene. He might be the Messiah. Let's go and check it out. Let's come and see. And this command to come and see is literally just show up. And so Jesus often says to people sitting in the first chair, hey, just show up. And maybe you remember, if you didn't grow up in a church, like going to Sunday school and youth group and that kind of thing, maybe you remember someone in your life when you were younger or at some point in your life that said, hey, you've got to check out Jesus. You've got to check this out. You've got to come to this worship service with me. You've got to come to this Bible study with me. Will you come and see? Could anyone in the room remember anyone ever doing that for them at some point in their life? Someone just says, hey, just show up. Just come and check it out. Just see what this is. And this is a totally non-threatening invitation, right? Like a lot of times people are like, oh, Christians, they want to shove the gospel down our throats, you know, or whatever. But this is really just, hey, come and see. Come and see. And I'm guessing because we're in a worship service, there's not very many chair one people in the room. If you are, I'm glad you're here coming and seeing and checking it out. Most of us are probably not in the first chair. But people in chair one need Christians around them who can clearly articulate and show who Jesus is. That through their lifestyle, through what they understand about Jesus, are able to say, hey, come and see. Like, this is who Jesus is. Like, two followers of Jesus, Matthew and Zacchaeus, we remember them when they met Jesus. Does anyone remember what they did after they met Jesus and he hung out with them? They threw a party. And they didn't know everything at that point, but all they knew is like, dude, you've got to check out Jesus. And they did everything they could to show people who Jesus was. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners because he reached out to these people. Could the same thing be said about you? Are you a friend of sinners? Someone who shows people Jesus? So we have to be people that are available to other people and kind of tilling the soil of relationships, because most of the time people come out of the first chair into faith because they're in relationships with other people. So we have to be intentionally engaging with people that don't know Jesus, doing the best we can to show who Christ is by our actions, by our words, and clearly articulate the gospel so that they can see it. See, people in the first chair, they need people who can show them Jesus. And that is our job. God gives us that job of helping them see the gospel. So that's the first chair. The non-believer, the seeker, those that haven't come to a saving relationship with Jesus. So chair two, then, is a dramatic shift from chair one to chair two, and this is the believer. This is someone who Jesus comes to and gives the command. He says, follow me. Have your feet pointed towards me. Come with me. Be with me. This is when people cross from death to life and have their lives changed. The work of justification is done, where God sees them now as righteous and pure because they put faith in Christ and they've changed their lives. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when we move from the first chair to the second chair, we repent, we believe, and our lives begin something brand new. We actually change directions. Now, the thing about chair one and chair one, that invitation, check it out. Like, anyone can do that, right? That doesn't cost you anything. But to sit in the second chair, to follow me, Jesus says, costs you a lot. It's very costly. It costs an awful lot. And Jesus took his disciples, and after they had known him and after they observed him, he said, follow me. And they actually did that. They left their stuff. They went with him. They observed what he did. They became more and more like him. They asked him questions. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to drive out evil spirits. He taught them how to do all these things. And their lives were changed. And the second chair is a long process of growth. We talk about those church words, justification and sanctification. And sanctification is us becoming more like Jesus, sitting in that chair. Now, our family, over the break, we've gotten into this show. Maybe you've seen it, but it's the American Ninja Warrior. Have you seen this show before? It's pretty cool. And so we were looking for something to watch together, and so we've never seen it before, but are watching last seasons. And it's all these, like, incredible athletes, you know, that can, you know, like, climb stuff with their hands and do flips and all these cool things. But every time we get done with an episode, our kids are like, I'm going to be an American Ninja Warrior. And so, like, both Malia and Nora, I can talk about them because they're not here. Don't tell them. But they'll get on the ground and they'll start doing push-ups and sit-ups, and they're just like, get up, and they're like, yes, check out how big my muscle is now, you know? And they're like, can we find a ninja gym? You know, Dad, will you build us a ninja gym? Like, they're ready to go and do all of this impossible stuff, like, right away. They're like, we are ready to go, Dad. And I'm like, that's sweet, you know? But you're not. You will be broken, probably. But none of those incredible athletes, like, were born, you know, looking like Zach Castle, this fine specimen of a man, right? Like it took a lot of, you know, time in the gym and sculpting, right, to get that look. But the second chair, I can't embarrass my kids, so I'll embarrass you. Yes, thank you. See? All I want. But in the second chair, we become believers, where we give assent to Jesus, but then we start this process of becoming more and more like him, where we follow Jesus. We mimic Jesus. We do what he does. We observe his lifestyle, plant ourselves in it, and it's a process of growth. And we help each other do that. And we have to realize that all the time, Jesus met people in different areas of their spiritual development. And in this room, there are people that are in different phases of chair too. Like, you know, when you're talking about little kids, like, you remember the first time your little kid starts to try and feed themselves? Like, you know, they go from milk to suddenly eating solid foods, that rice cereal, and for a while you feed them, and it's slow going, and then it comes the day where you're like, let's give them the spoon, you know? And you give the baby the spoon, and there's like 98% of the food is in their hair or on the ceiling or on the floor. It's everywhere, but a little bit, a tiny bit, like it somehow gets absorbed by their body and they digest it. But it's way easier just to say, I will feed you because you're too messy. But there's something about our development about a kid learning how to feed themselves. Like, that would be pretty bad news if I'm in my late 30s and I had to call my mom every time I wanted some cereal so she could feed me. Like, there's a development that happens, and it's messy. And we nurture each other, and we sit in this chair, and we follow Jesus. We become like him. We abide in him. We love him. We take on the things that a follower of Jesus does. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, to live, to trust God, to have joy. This is where the fruit of the Spirit is grown in us, sitting in the second chair. So that's the second chair. The third chair, things changed just a little bit because Jesus wanted followers who knew him and obeyed him and followed him. But Jesus didn't just come to make followers of himself. He came to make people workers and co-workers in the gospel. And the third chair is called the worker or the servant. This is the person who is invited to participate in what God is doing. In Matthew 4:19, I'm sorry, Jesus approached some fishermen. You've heard about these guys, disciples of Jesus, and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. I will make you fishers of men. And sometimes we read this, there's a parallel story all the way back in Mark chapter 1. And sometimes we assume that this was the first time these guys had seen Jesus. Now, if you take a chronology of Jesus' life in the Gospels, this is probably at least 12 months into Jesus' ministry that he actually went to these guys and said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people. But he invited them not only to follow him, but to take on and do what he had been doing, and to actually work alongside of him. And it's just like that baby feeding himself. The best way for you to learn to do something is what? For someone to tell you how to do it, right? No, it's to actually do it. And so Jesus then invites them. And we see later on in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gathers his disciples and he sends them out on a short-term mission trip. And there's at least two occasions where Jesus took his disciples and said, go do what I've been doing. Go into the synagogues, preach, cast out demons, do this stuff. And they're like, are you serious? Like, without you, can't we? And he said, no, you're ready. It's time for you to do this. And they went out, and Jesus' following grew even more because not only was he doing the ministry, but his people were. And I believe that as soon as we sit in chair two, God starts preparing us to be in chair three, to do things for other people, to give ourselves away. And Jesus himself poured into the people in chair two, not just so they could be comfortable there, but so that they'd be ready. Like, if you read the Gospels and Jesus, who he taught and who he spent time with, in the Gospels, there's 17 times when Jesus spent time teaching, like, large crowds of people, a lot of people that were showing up to see. But 46 times in the Gospels, Jesus is just pouring into his close disciples. And the reason for that is he was getting them ready to do what he did. And he wants to do the same with us, not just leave us where we're believers and growing and becoming like Jesus, but actually using what God has done in us to serve other people. Now, I think sitting in chair three and partnering with Jesus can be as little as being generous and teaching Sunday school or something like that, and as dramatic as going on the mission field in a foreign country or doing something radical where you're giving yourself away and partnering with what Jesus is doing. We realize when we think about chair three is that right now God is at work. Is he not? Do you believe that? That right now God is drawing people to himself, that God cares about acts of justice in the world and people becoming like him and knowing him. And as his people that sit in chair two, He invites us to join him in that, to figure out what he's doing around us and use our gifts, our abilities, our resources to participate in his work and be a co-worker. Next week, we start Sunday school classes back up again, January 7th at 9 a.m. If you've never come for the 9 a.m. Sunday school, I encourage you to do so. We have stuff for all ages. But adults are going to be going through the shape class, which is all about understanding how God made your shape to be, your spiritual gifts, your habits, your personality, and how is it that God has created you individually to be a part of his work. Because God tells us and he commands us, and he tells us that we don't, when we come to Jesus, we deny ourselves and take up our cross. And so we have the things in our lives that we have not for ourselves and to make ourselves more comfortable, but for the sake of other people. And so God invites us to sit in the third chair to deny ourselves. And this is a costly, challenging place to sit. It's oftentimes a thankless place to sit. And it's a place that stretches us and grows us. So that's the third chair, the worker. And my feeling is that probably a lot of Christians in the United States are people sitting in the second chair, probably like with a leg resting on the third chair, you know, with different ways that we get involved in just a little bit in participating in what God does. Now, the fourth chair is the ultimate step of maturity, and this is called the disciple maker chair. This is not just someone who participates with God in what he's doing, but it's becoming a disciple who makes disciples. And if you think, Jesus didn't just come to spread the gospel around the world, because he didn't do that himself. He's focused on a few people and the gospel just spread and exploded all around the world. Jesus told his disciples to go and bear fruit. He commanded them to bear fruit. Just before he left the earth in Matthew 28, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." He says to go and make disciples. Now, the ultimate sign of maturity is always reproduction. Like, that's when someone is physically mature, like they're able to reproduce. Like, and that's the same thing with our spiritual lives. Like, as we grow in faith and become more and more like Jesus, he enables us to bear fruit. And not just the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, but fruit of other people that embrace the gospel and sit in the second chair and move to the third chair and make disciples themselves. See, Jesus didn't just make followers. He made followers who made followers and invested in other people. Jesus said to his disciples after he resurrected in John 20, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And we're sent in the same way, to be people that so care about the gospel and so care about what God is doing that we're the type of people that seek out multiplication. And that's why we're a part of a church conference that does church planting. Instead of just trying to grow churches, we want to see new churches and new congregations multiply and people embrace the story of the gospel and that to be people that are multiple generation disciples. And the reason you and I are sitting in this room today is because people were fourth chair disciples, because they were disciples who made disciples. The church didn't quit, you know, when all the disciples died, because they were making disciples. And Jesus calls us to that same type of thing, to bear fruit to the end, to have our feet pointed towards Jesus, and to invite other people along the journey to grow in him. And so it takes intentionality of us spending time with people and knowing people and being selfless and seeing what that fruit looks like. So my question for you this morning is simple, is if you're sitting in one of these four chairs, and I would say you're sitting in one of them, what chair are you in? Can you place yourself in one of these chairs? And when you think about this coming year and you think about where you're at, what would it look like for you to grow and to move on to the next chair? Because, I mean, these are comfortable chairs. You're sitting in them right now. They're pretty comfy, right? But none of these should get so comfortable that we want to stay there. And even the fourth chair, I think few people live that kind of life, but even in that chair, we don't want to be comfortable. We want to keep growing, because there is no there when it comes to following Jesus. We have to have our feet pointed towards Jesus all the time, becoming more and more like him, along with other people around us helping us to see what it looks like for us to grow. So does this make sense? And so as we begin this year, think about that. Where are you It's a good time of year to ask that question. It always is, really. But where is God taking you? Who are you becoming? And who are we becoming as a church? Sometimes we can sit too long in the same chair. And I think God wants to move us and stretch us and grow us. Not just for his sake, but for our sake. It's good for us. So let me pray. God, thank you again for your great love for us, that you invite us to a life that really matters. And like we sang just a little bit ago, God, that there's nothing we can do that compares to you. There's no life that we can live that is better or more meaningful than a life built in you, buried in you, rooted in you. And so, Lord, I pray that in the short lives that we have, that we would do everything we can to pursue you, to have our feet pointed towards you, our eyes locked on you, to be more and more like you. And whatever it is, God, that you're calling us to do, to go deeper with you, especially as we start the new year, I pray that you show that to us, and then that you give us the strength and the courage and the ability to pursue you and follow you in that. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name.